This morning, America's First News starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New tariffs on the table. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, May 31. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump's imposing new tariffs on Mexico, and they'll rise for months if Mexico doesn't do more to curb the flow of asylum seekers at the southern border.
On the health front, the CDC says the measles outbreak has now reached its highest level in more than 25 years.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee has declared an 8-way tie for the title after the competition ran out of challenging words.
And airlines try to address our inability to sleep on planes.
The first thing to know is it's just really difficult to sleep on airplanes. I think everybody kind of knows this from experience. But there are a lot of physiological reasons why that is, and airlines have found that what they're really selling is sleep.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney on airlines designing better sleeping spaces, especially on long-haul flights. His report in about 20 minutes. President Trump has announced escalating tariffs on all Mexican imports beginning a week from Monday, an effort to get Mexico to slow the flow of Central American families seeking asylum at our southern border. On Twitter, the president said the tariff would begin at 5% and grow steadily, hitting 25% in October, unless Mexico takes satisfactory action. In addition to autos and auto parts, the U.S. imports a variety of consumer goods from Mexico, such as appliances and agricultural products like fruits and veggies. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney:
the president will defend the nation. He will defend the southern border. If that means taking the tariffs to 25%, that means taking tariffs to 25%. We hope, sincerely hope, it does not come to that.
Democratic lawmakers don't like it. Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz called it a $17 billion sales tax. Meanwhile, Customs and Border Protection officials yesterday said they had encountered a group of more than 1,000 migrants at the border. Mexico's foreign minister will travel to Washington today for talks. Special Counsel Robert Mueller may have issued his final words on the Russia investigation, but President Trump has not finished his commentary on Mr. Mueller. A day after, Mr. Mueller made a 9-minute statement in support of his 2-year probe of Russian election interference. Mr. Trump yesterday called him a true never-Trumper. He also pointed the finger back at Democrats for how the origins of the investigation began.
It's a giant presidential harassment, and honestly, I hope it goes down as one of my greatest achievements, because I've exposed corruption.
Mr. Mueller on Wednesday essentially put the task of assessing Mr. Trump's conduct in the hands of the Democratic-controlled House, which has been weighing whether to pursue impeachment. In an editorial, the Wall Street Journal says, thanks to Mr. Mueller, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now faces further pressure to open an impeachment inquiry to charge Donald Trump with obstructing an investigation that wasn't obstructed into a conspiracy that did not exist. More discouraging news about measles. The CDC says the number of cases in the U.S. this year has hit its highest level in more than 25 years. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The CDC warns that a major public health milestone, the elimination of measles in the U.S., may be sacrificed if two large outbreaks aren't curbed by the fall. The CDC said 971 cases have been reported so far in 2019, including 91 cases in the past week and a half. So in just 5 months, the outbreaks have surpassed the number of cases reported in all of 1994. Most of the cases this year are connected to two outbreaks in New York City and Rockland County, New York. The virus has been spreading mostly among unvaccinated children in ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. CDC officials said they are concerned the New York outbreaks will continue past September, the point at which the U.S. would lose its designation as a country that has eliminated measles. Overall, 26 states have reported measles cases this year, from Maine to California. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Friday. With broad areas of the country in the throes of a highly active tornado season, federal forecasters are wrestling with the gaps in their knowledge of how tornadoes form. The science community now believes tornadoes most likely build from the ground up and not from a storm cloud down, potentially making them harder to spot via radar early in the formation process. More on what's known and what's a mystery from reporter Erin Aylworth at the Wall Street Journal. Erin, what's up here?
Well, the first surprising thing is that forecasters and researchers told me that, you know, there are key pieces to the tornado formation puzzle that they are missing. They've been working on some of these mysteries, as they call them, for quite some time. So they've learned a lot, but there are still lots of things to discover, if you will, about how and why and when tornadoes form.
Yeah, I can understand, because these things are fairly dangerous to get near. What do we know about tornadoes?
Well, so another surprising thing is even though our eye visually sees, you know, that funnel cloud sort of, it looks like it's descending down, right, visually to us, researchers have discovered that, and they long suspected that tornadoes actually start forming from the ground up. So research done by a lady named Jenna Hauser at Ohio University looked at a bunch of radar scans from several storms, and what they found was that there is this low-level rotating horizontal column of air. They still don't know exactly where that column comes from, but they find that tornado strength air rotation near the ground, and we're talking like 200 feet or lower, way before they ever see tornado strength winds, like, you know, at cloud level.
Wow. We're speaking with Erin Aylworth at the Wall Street Journal. She covers disasters. She's written a piece entitled "New Science Explains Why Tornadoes Are So Hard to Forecast." Is there a particular missing piece of information that scientists or researchers would like to have?
Well, they definitely want to figure out where that horizontal rotation comes from. They're still not sure. They have some theories that it might sort of spin off of the back end of one of these supercell thunderstorms, or it could be caused by something totally different. They'd love to know that piece. But really, they just want to know everything they can about tornadoes. I mean, one of the reasons that the ground-up theory is important is because if tornadoes do start forming near the ground instead of in the clouds, it's harder for, you know, radars that are looking at that cloud level to see them. And so it has implications for how quickly we might be able to spot a storm and then how quickly we can get a warning to people who need to know that one of these things is coming toward them.
In central New Jersey, where I am, tornadoes are largely unheard of. So put in perspective that the amount we've had reported over the last 30 days or so, is this, I know May is kind of the month, but has this been an unusual month, or does it just seem that way?
Yeah, the forecasters that I've talked to have said that it's incredibly active. You know, the spate that we've had since like May 20th, I mean, May 20th started with a tornado watch that came out that had a certain designation. It was called a PDS, which stands for Particularly Dangerous Situation. Forecasters don't use that type of language often, and what it meant was that they were seeing weather patterns that were extremely conducive to tornado formation. And then since then, it has just been like day after day, almost unrelenting. They were telling me at the Storm Prediction Center that they took a look back at like the last 30 days, right? And there were more than 500 reports of tornadoes. And there have been only been four other years since 1950 where they've seen, you know, a day with more than 500 reports of tornadoes.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Aylworth, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. You've heard them all, right? Father's Day gifts like sock spenders, the electric tie, or maybe soap on a rope. Where gifting is concerned, it's a little too easy sometimes to confuse Father's Day with Epic Failure Day. Let's do good old dad a solid and get him a gift he'll use and appreciate this Father's Day. Introducing Father's Day with Harry's, your chance to give the whiskered one in your life a quality shave with Harry's exceptional German engineer blades and top-notch products that will certainly do dad proud. Harry's is a great gift choice for dad and for you, because right now our listeners will enjoy the Harry's Father's Day deal. Get $5 off a shave set from Harry's when you use the code DEAL at harrys.com. That's harrys.com. You get a razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3, plus free shipping when you use the code DEAL at harrys.com. He'll use it. He'll love it. harrys.com. Go there and then use the code DEAL at checkout and do dad right this Father's Day. harrys.com and use the code DEAL at checkout. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in a surprise announcement that could derail a major trade deal, President Trump announced he's placing a 5% tariff on all Mexican imports effective June 10th to pressure the country to do more to crack down on the surge of Central American migrants trying to cross the U.S. border. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says the percentage will gradually increase.
That tariff will go to 10% on July 1st. 15% on August 1st, 20% on September 1st, and 25% on October 1st.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador responded with a letter addressed to Trump in which he called for deeper dialogue on the migration issue. President Trump angrily assailed Special Counsel Robert Mueller's motives yesterday, a day after Mueller rebuffed Trump's repeated claims that the Russia investigation had cleared him of obstructing justice.
I think Mueller is a true never-Trumper. He's somebody that dislikes Donald Trump. He's somebody that didn't get a job that he requested, that he wanted very badly, and then he was appointed.
The president also offered mixed messages on Russia's efforts to help him defeat Hillary Clinton. Early in the day, Trump tweeted he had nothing to do with Russia helping me get elected. Later, he told reporters Russia did not help me get elected. Danish-born socialite Klaus von Bülow has died in London. Von Bülow was convicted, then acquitted, of trying to kill his wife, Sunny, to gain her fortune so he could live with his mistress. The von Bülow saga was made into a movie in which Jeremy Irons starred as the head. Von Bülow was 92.
Odalic. O-D-Y-L-I-C. Odalic.
It's complete.
And with that, not one, not two, but eight dictionary experts claim the top prize at the Scripps National Spelling Bee on ESPN. 3 hours into the final competition, the Bee announced that everyone who nailed their 12th word of the night would share the honor because it had run out of challenging words. It marks the first time more than two contestants won. The finalists, ages 12 to 14, beat out 546 other competitors.
Threw the dictionary at them, and they couldn't do it.
The dictionary
imagine?
Lost.
Kids won, dictionary yep. Zero. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Sleeping on airplanes is hard enough in business class. It's darn near impossible for most of us in coach. But Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney says new research is yielding tips on how to give yourself a snoring chance. He has a column called The Middle Seat. Scott, explain.
There's a group in London that's actually done a lot of research on sleep in the air and also some medical professionals that we talked to. And the first thing to know is it's just really difficult to sleep on airplanes. I think everybody kind of knows this from experience. But there are a lot of physiological reasons why that is. And airlines have found that what they're really selling is sleep. So people who pay $7,000, $10,000 for a business class lie-flat bed, what they're buying is sleep. And it turns out that a lot of the beds that are coming out now are designed to sort of maximize privacy, but also maximize the number of seats you can get into the business class cabin. So they're kind of long and skinny, and it turns out that that doesn't work for a lot of people. Most of us sleep on our side, and these new seats don't have a lot of room for your knees if you pull your knees up. And so you spend a lot of money in the hopes of sleeping, and it turns out that some of these new products aren't real conducive to sleep if you sleep a certain way.
Wow. All right, so is there an optimal way to do this then?
It's interesting. The researchers came to the conclusion that what should really happen is that there should be a variety of beds available on airplanes. So if you're going to spend that kind of money, there are... if you know that you sleep, I sleep mostly on my right side. So I need to be on, for example, on the right side of the airplane if I am in business class and can lie down, so that I'm facing the outer wall and not facing the aisle. If you sleep facing the aisle, you're going to have trouble sleeping because people are walking up and down the aisle, because there are noises, because you're looking at other people, and the last thing you see actually has an impact on whether you can actually nod off to sleep.
Oh, wow.
So there are, if you can also sort of tailor the shape of the bed to the way people sleep. And if you sleep on your stomach, there may be a certain kind of shape that works for you. Sleep on your side, a different shape. And if airlines were to offer some variety, the current practice in the industry is, hey, all of our seats are the same. But maybe what the researchers suggested is they should go the other way and say, this one's a little different from that one, and maybe it's better for you.
Hey, Scott's Wall Street Journal columnist Scott McCartney. His column is called The Middle Seat. I am one of those who can sleep on airplanes, but for, 8 to maybe 20 minutes at a time. Sleeping in coach, your head rolls back, your chin drops, you start snoring. It's never a good sleep, but I can get 20 minutes, maybe. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, May 31st. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump announces new tariffs on Mexico. Immigration advocacy groups host a forum today with four Democratic presidential candidates. Measles outbreak in the U.S. is now the worst in 25 years. You can now tap and pay with your credit card or smartphone on some New York City subways. Toronto beats Golden State in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. And what youth baseball players in Iowa do with a tornado looming. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update. And it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. While there's little doubt that salary and health insurance remain top priorities for job seekers, many are also eager to work for companies that help them whittle down their student loan obligations. Among adults with student loans, more than 6 in 10 say working for a business that assists with that financial burden is a key enticement, according to one study. More from Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, what are you hearing?
No, well, you know, right now, you know, Americans have about $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. So it's a huge burden that people are wrestling with. And so increasingly, you know, when people are looking at where they want to work, obviously they want good pay, obviously they want insurance, but they also want some other benefits. And one of the key perks that they're looking at is help, you know, paying off the student loan debt. And you don't have a lot of companies doing it, but more and more are thinking about it, and there are some good examples out there of employers who figure in a very competitive market, this is a way to stand out and try and get and retain really good talent.
To your point, I'll quote these stats, correct me if I'm wrong, about 4% of companies right now offer help with student loans, yet another survey found 62% of young workers said they would commit to a company for 5 years if they got student loan help. That's a big disconnect on desires.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it shows that, you know, folks are having to kind of catch up with these new generations coming into the workforce, right? You've got Generation Z, which is coming out of college. You've got the younger millennials who are out in the work world, and they're the ones that are really feeling crushed by all of this debt. And so they've got to catch up with their benefits packages to what employees want, or they're going to lose out on a lot of good workers who are, you know, going to make some different decisions. I mean, I spoke to one woman, and she literally left the company she was working for to move over to Abbott, a healthcare company, because they offered this great benefit that would help her save and also pay off her student loan debt a lot faster.
Wow. All right. So for companies like that, that offer help with student loans, what is it that they do? Are they writing you an annual check that pays down part of it, or how does it work?
Yeah, it really varies. Like Abbott, what they do, which is really very cool, is that they will put 5% into your 401k. And a lot of times they want the employee to match that, right? But instead of having to put in your own 5%, they basically just say, hey, take 2% of your income and put it towards your student loans. So basically they're going to help you save for retirement at the same time that you're able to more aggressively target the student loan debt that you have. You have some other companies, Zillow, which is a real estate website company, and they basically give you access to Tuition.io, which is a portal that has coaching for your finances, and you come up with a plan, and they'll contribute $25 a month towards your student loan debt, which is not a huge amount necessarily, but, you know, every little bit counts. PwC, which used to be Price Waterhouse, they will give up to $1,200 a year for up to 6 years towards your student loan debt, and they estimate that that can shave about $10,000 off of what you would pay in interest and help you pay off your loans about 3 or 4 years earlier. So all of these things really make a dent in something that is a real burden for a lot of people.
Yeah. We're speaking with Cherise Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. She's written a piece entitled, Americans Want a 401k, a Great Salary, Health Benefits, and Help with Student Loans, Too. Not to look a gift horse in the mouth, are there tax implications here when you receive that kind of help?
I mean, that's a really good question, but I think because, you know, if it has to do with workplace contributions and that type of thing, that should be fine. I mean, I think in the end, the lenders just want their money.
Yeah.
So if the money is coming from the company, they don't necessarily know what pool or pot the money's coming from. They just know you're making the payment. Mm.
Does speak volumes about the state of affairs today with regards to college costs, doesn't it? That students are graduating from these schools and immediately asking for help from employers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the debt is just overwhelming. I mean, it's the reason why, you know, millennials are taking a lot longer to buy homes. One guy I spoke to wasn't able to buy a car for a very long time, but now that he's getting that extra help, he was finally able to get one. They're really having to put, you know, segments of their life on hold because they just don't have the capital, because so much has to go towards these loans, which, you know, they're not forgiven in bankruptcy. You know, you never can get away from them. And so it shows that it's something that's really taking a toll and is on the minds of a lot of people, especially young people who are coming out of school.
Thanks, Cherise. Cherise Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, many of us can relate to the idea of being frustrated by someone's illegal parking causing us problems, but few of us are taken to the level of this Seattle man. Fox News says Dan Smith was so upset about a car share vehicle illegally parked in the parking lot of his duplex that he has erected a barricade around it and is now demanding compensation from the owner. Smith told local TV that a car-to-go Mercedes-Benz has been parked in his lot since May 17th.
Wow.
He said he gave Share Now, the company that operates car-to-go, 2 hours to collect the vehicle. After no response, he built a makeshift fence around it. The photo of the barricade, featuring a mix of metal, wood, and stringing materials, all complete with private property and no trespassing signs, has now gone viral. The company said several customers have tried renting the vehicle since and couldn't access it because the barricade had already been put up. Smith is demanding the company pay $65 a day for vehicle storage fees, $300 for the barricade, and $500 for harassment fees.
Oh, wow.
Now,
that's an angry guy right there.
I was with them on the $65 a day for vehicle storage. $300 for the barricade. I mean, if you look at the barricade,
yeah.
That didn't cost him any $300. That's for sure. That was whatever was in his dumpster that he basically pulled out and, strung together to make this barricade.
What about his labor?
Yeah, I suppose.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
$50 an hour
for
labor, probably.
Sure, maybe, if you want to go that route. And then $500 for harassment fees. Yeah. It's just punitive damages.
Piling on.
That point. Yeah.
Right. I certainly understand his frustration.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you live in one of those neighborhoods where parking's really tight,
yeah.
That kind of situation. Yeah, for sure.
Get the car out of here.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, but May 17, I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
You would think, a handful of hours, not more than a week or whatever.
Yeah. And a chef, Gordon, at an upscale restaurant in New York City recently found himself cooking for a surprisingly picky customer, a dog. Apparently, the dog just wanted a plain burger with no seasoning, and whoever gave the order was very adamant about that. A photo of the order was posted on Twitter by a woman who claims to be friends with the cook. The kitchen receipt shows an order for one beef burger cooked medium rare with no cheese. It then lists special instructions, which starts off with, "This is for a dog." It continues on to read, "No salt, no oil, no seasoning, no pepper." In case it wasn't clear yet, the instructions continue. "Absolutely plain. No toppings, no garnishes, no bacon, no pickles, Gordon.
Mm.
No onion, no bread, no lettuce. Oh, and no side salad either," in case you were thinking that this was some doggy quest for healthier eating. Social media users were quick to show their amusement. Some questioned how specific the dog's taste could be, with one asking, "Does the dog talk to its owner to make sure the patty isn't salted?"
Sure.
Yeah. Another chimed in with, "Wait, is the dog by themselves?" Because there was only one guest listed on the order. It has not been confirmed if the dog enjoyed the burger or not.
Well, of course the dog enjoyed the burger.
Yes.
The dog appreciated the opportunity to be with the owner at a burger joint.
Yeah, I mean...
And then ate without complaining.
Yeah.
A cat? No. No.
The cat waited for the order to arrive, took one look at it, sniffed,
and then left.
And hightailed it out the door.
Right, and didn't tip nor pay for the burger. That's what a cat did. By the way, you said this dog did not want bacon.
Yeah.
Must be a puppy.
I don't know.
He's still learning.
Yeah,
still
for sure.
Still learning the value of toppings.
Poor dog.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Petty Poppies, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Hidden fees are a common frustration, and now we know just how common. Consumer Reports has issued a new survey that finds altogether 85% of Americans have faced an unexpected or hidden fee for a service they used over the past 2 years. A staggering 96% of consumers said these fees were annoying. That seems low to me. The worst perpetrator based on the survey was the telecommunication industry, including cell phone, internet, and cable TV providers. MarketWatch says last year AT&T increased a so-called administrative fee it charges wireless customers from 76 cents to $1.99. Analysts predicted that seemingly small change would generate $800 million in additional revenue for the company, but hidden fees crop up everywhere. Venues, utility companies, banks, hotels, airlines, investment management firms have all charged such fees. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to responding to a surge of illegal immigrants across the southern border, President Trump is vowing to impose a tariff on all goods coming from Mexico, starting at 5% and ratcheting higher until the flow of people ceases. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney.
We are going to judge success here by the number of people crossing the border, and that number needs to start coming down immediately.
The announcement rattled investors who fear that worsening trade friction could hurt the global economy. The Mexican peso, U.S. stock futures, and Asian stock markets tumbled on the news, including the shares of Japanese automakers who ship cars from Mexico to the U.S. Attorney General William Barr says special counsel Robert Mueller could have declared whether President Trump broke the law if Mueller had wanted, albeit still without the ability to bring any indictment. Barr told CBS he believes Mueller had more latitude to state his views than the special counsel may have permitted him himself.
He could have reached a conclusion. The opinion says you cannot indict a president while he's in office, but he could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity.
The discrepancy between the Justice Department's leaders is over its longstanding legal opinion that forbids the indictment of a sitting president. A South Korean newspaper is reporting that North Korea has executed five officials for their part in the failed second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The paper says North Korea's special envoy to the U.S. was executed by firing squad in March for being, quote, won over by the American imperialist to betray the supreme leader. The paper also claimed that four other North Korean foreign ministry officials were executed that same month because of the breakdown of the February summit in Hanoi, but did not provide details. The first NBA Finals game outside the U.S. was a party 24 years in the making. Then Pascal Siakam and the Raptors really gave Toronto something to celebrate. Siakam scored a playoff career-high 32 points as the Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors 118-109 last night. Mike Breen on ABC.
Here comes Siakam. Sidestep. Layup is good. Wow, what a quarter for Siakam.
Steph Curry of the Warriors led all scorers with 34. Game 2 Sunday night in Toronto.
Could you say that again? Toronto beat Golden State?
Yeah.
Is that, wow. Warriors in 4.
Might be interesting.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What do young Iowa baseball players and their families do when a tornado looms in the distance? Play ball. At least that's what a Little League team of 5th and 6th graders in the eastern Iowa town of Montezuma did earlier this week. Jamie Brennan, parent at the game, took a video of the curious scene in which the young ballplayers continued with their warm-ups as a tornado is pictured looming in the background. She told the Des Moines Register that the tornado appeared very quickly and also disappeared fairly quickly. She said the game before theirs was canceled, but by the time it was their turn to play, everyone thought the storm had passed. She says when the kids were warming up, it was clear outside, no lightning, rain, or wind. In response to social media criticism, she admits the video appears careless, but says there were many people there and no one was panicking. She said, if I felt like it was a dangerous situation, I would have removed my child from the field immediately. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.